Question number one. How well do you know the history of Singapore, Sydney BPC, and the struggle she went through to be where and what she is today? Share two of her struggles if you can. In every church, the greatest struggle, in my opinion, would be leadership. You can start a church, but to keep the church strong and faithful, you need godly leaders. That's what I notice when I look at the churches that Calvary Pandan had a part in founding. The one in Perth, BPCWA, the one in Melbourne, and the one in Sydney. Of all these three churches, leadership was the most difficult because when the leadership is derelict in their duties and responsibilities, the church will fall away. It will be headed in the wrong direction, and once it is in the wrong direction, it is very, very difficult to save it. That's why to find godly leaders were very difficult. Elder Cole noticed this, and he shared this with me on a number of occasions. He saw what happened in some of our BP churches back home in Singapore. He saw what happened in BPCWA. He saw what happened in Melbourne. And that is why when the Lord called him to be the main person to look after this church, he always wanted to be very careful whom he brought into the leadership, the session, to look after the congregation. He was very mindful of same God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and one doctrine. That was crucial. The number in the congregation may remain small, but the leadership must remain strong and stable and united. And when that is, according to God's timing, if that is true, then God will bring the people. Bringing the people is easy. God can bring as many people as you like. But the question is, will the leaders be prepared to nurture, protect, and look after them by their sacrifice, by their testimony? He understood this. And that's why when I reflect upon the history of Sydney BPC, this would be the first and most important struggle that I could reflect upon and recall. The premises, as you know, will evolve and change as the number grow. Finding a place for the building is the easy part, but finding the people inside the building, faithful men and women and children, to keep the church a home away from home for God's people in this part of the world is the hard part. That's why Mother Church back home in Pandan had no issue helping with the financial aspect. As you know, BPCWA, basically funded by Singapore Church, same with Melbourne, same with Sydney. That's the easy part because it's just hardware, it's dollars and cents, it means nothing. But the people, the lives that come when they fellowship and interact with one another, how will they respond and react during times of misunderstanding, during times of service where they will step on each other's toes? Whether they are able to reconcile, whether they are going to forgive one another and learn to be forgiven, would be my second consideration. In terms of the struggle, how to keep the congregation faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the more you encourage them to serve, the more they share their lives, the more they interact with one another, the more they're going to hurt one another. As you know, when two persons keep a distance away from each other, they don't hurt one another, they don't share their lives. It's when your life, your ministerial life, your family life crisscross. Your children quarrel with my children. Your wife quarrel with my wife, your husband quarrel with my husband, and so on and so forth. And that's where you're going to see whether what you have been teaching, preaching, will really come to reality, turning theory into reality experience. And so as leaders, you pray, you watch, you wait, you see. So how is Sydney BPC in this regards today? In the past, many have come, many have gone. Those who are called home to glory, they finish the race. But those who have left, where do they go after they leave? If there had been or are sound biblical churches in this part of the world, there would not have been any reason or purpose to start Sydney BPC 29 years ago. And if 29 years ago there had been no faithful Bible Presbyterian churches for God's children who have migrated here, 29 years later, you think it has changed or it had gotten worse? And therefore, when someone leaves Sydney BPC, is there another Bible Presbyterian church that they could attend? I don't think so. It's non-existent. So if I'm a Bible Presbyterian, my doctrines are Bible Presbyterian, it's a nightmare for me to attend a Baptist church. It's a nightmare for me to attend an ecumenical Presbyterian church. Once in a while, for a short period, I can tolerate and accept that. That was my experience, our experience, my wife and I, when we were in America. There was no BP church that we could attend during our 3 years there. 2 years in Indiana, 1 year in Philadelphia, somewhere around there in Pennsylvania, the state. We tried to look for a BP church when we were in Pennsylvania for our 3rd year. We thought that would be easy because that was where the BP movement started. Faith Theological Seminary was there. The BP movement was there from its very beginning. The base was there. The headquarters was there. But what remained was only the building. They still have a congregation, a building that could sit 3,000 over people, I was told. But you know how many people were attend Sunday after Sunday? Less than 100. And the closest BP church where we live was 2 hours away, and it was a house church, less than 20 people. My wife and I decided not to go there because we were not comfortable driving in the winter, 2 hours one way, 2 hours back, winter season. And the winter there is not like the winter here. Snow is everywhere, and we are not comfortable driving in snow for 2 hours with two young children. That's why our option was to look for a church that was closer to home, where we live, and it was not a BP church. The leaders of the church knew that. We befriended one of the elders, and the elder knew that we are Bible Presbyterians, and they were not. And so we make sure that we did not give them trouble. We're just visitors. And so we were prepared to accept attending a church of a different doctrine and denomination, not according to our conviction, for 1 year. But to leave Sydney BPC, and Sydney is my home for the rest of my life, to bring up my children in a Baptist environment or any other denominational churches that are part of the ecumenical movement, that's a nightmare. That's why Sydney BPC, protect her, protect it, spiritually speaking. Keep the charge, your children's lives, your children's destiny. Protect it well. You look at all these precious little ones. There is a reason why the Lord brought one of the young children and said to us, of such indeed is the kingdom of heaven. What did he mean by that? You see, children at that age of 5 or 6, everything you tell them, you teach them, they believe without question. And that's what the Lord said, of such indeed are the kingdom of heaven. In other words, our children at that young age where they believe everything mom and dad teach them will be the best time for them to become Christians. As they cross into the age of accountability, what age that might be, it's very, very subjective. But the farther they grow away from the age of 6, the more difficult it is for them to come and bring themselves down to that level, because everyone in the kingdom of heaven would be of that mindset. Believe everything without question. And as you know, as you mature, as you grow older and older in the world, you become more and more skeptical. You become more and more distrusting. You question everything. That's why you try to share the gospel with a 60-year-old man. He has to bring himself down to the age of 6 to believe everything in the gospel that the Bible will teach them without question. That's why keep, by the mercies and grace of God, SBPC faithful. You are now the leaders. If the Lord tarries, keep the charge, your children's salvation, carefully. Because you may be going to heaven, but if you leave behind a church that is derelict, how will they find salvation? Where would they go? Where? Nowhere. That's why this question was designed to help you ponder and look deep into your own heart. You are brought to SBPC not by choice, not by chance, but by God's ordained appointment. Please know this. You may think that you have decided, but the higher hand of God was the one who brought you here. Will you do your part? Share 3 incidents in your life that make you want to love the Lord your God more. Personally, the first incident would be my salvation. The reason why God brought me into architecture. I'm not a good student. I'm a bad student. All my life, my mom had been drumming into my head this Hainanese phrase, bongkang. You know what's bongkang or not? Bongkang means stupid. Useless is botongjong. So my whole life has been like this since I was a young boy, since primary 3. Primary 1, fine. Just primary 1, you know nothing. For whatever reason, the school made me skip primary 2. They thought I was smart. They bumped me up from primary 1 to primary 3, and that means I was in the same class as my older sister, whose whole life has always been number 1 or number 2 in class. Very smart. I'm the dummy. So now she and I are both primary 3, different school, boys' school, girls' school. And so every time the results come out, it will be a contrast between my sister and me. Hers is the heaven type. Mine is the hell type. First and second from the bottom, hers first and second from the top. My whole life has been like that. Primary school, secondary school, all the way, even after we moved out from Seremban to Singapore. I moved from Seremban to Singapore when I was in Sec 3. She also Sec 3. Even though she was 1 year older than me. And so she continued to excel, I continued to struggle. So my whole life has been stupid, 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 stupid. How did I get into university? By God's grace, literally. My A-level results were really, really below average. Just enough to get in. I love to draw. So I got in after national service. I began to work hard. My dad was a multimillionaire. After he died, we struggled. We were in Singapore, lived in a very big mansion when my dad was alive. When he died, I was 17. And so after national service, I began to wake up because my mom was struggling. No home. We were evicted. Rented premises from one to the next. So I want to work hard to provide for my mom and my younger siblings. I'm number 4. In the family of 9. My older siblings work earlier, my 2 older sisters, no national service. They provided the funds for my mom to look after us, to pay for my university education. So for the first time in my life in university, I began to work hard and did pretty well. Because I love to draw. All the subjects in architecture, I love it. So what you love, you like to do. But then, emptiness in my heart was still there. Second year, the gospel. That was the first reason why I loved the Lord. He saved me. From that point onwards, my life began to change for the better. Purpose for living. So by the time I finished my 4.5 years of studies in architecture, I prayed a simple prayer, Lord, if it is your will for me to go into full-time ministry, please let me work for 3 years so that I could provide for my younger siblings with my salary, just as my older siblings did for me. And so the Lord called me after I'd been working for 3 years. I struggled for 6 months, so my work life was only 3.5 years. And then I went to FEBC. Then before I started my second year in FEBC, I thank God, my wife and I, we married. And so my family life, the first incident, my family life, salvation, the Lord gave me my wife. And then later on, after graduating from FEBC, my children, this would be the first incident in my life that will help me love the Lord, because I thank God for my family. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my 3 children. I thank God for my 2 grandchildren. If not for my wife, I would not have my wonderful 3 children for me to love dearly, and my grandchildren. So the first incident is my salvation and my family life. The second is my calling. To know that if I had continued in the pathway of an architect, I would be like many of my friends who remain as an architect. Because 10 years after we all graduated, they had some kind of a reunion. We went to the Guild House in NUS. And then I look at them and look at myself. I was really in full-time ministry at the time, serving the Lord in Calvary Pandan. Then I look at them. I would have been like them, drinking, talking about all the multi-million dollar projects and all the rich people in Singapore and other parts of the world because of their way of life. I just sat there like a stranger, did not know what they were talking about. I got nothing to talk about. What do I have to share with them? It's about messages, preaching, church life, and so on. Fish out of water. Then I thank God when I reflected upon, if the Lord had not called me into full-time ministry, I would probably be like that. And I thank God that the Lord gave me a different direction in life. If the Lord called you to remain as an architect, fine. But that was not the Lord's calling for me. So that's the second incident in my life that I thank God for, a direction in life that will give me a purpose for my existence, why I have been created, and to know why I have been saved and why I have been left behind. To study God's word, to preach God's word, and to help God's people. The third incident is where. Knowing that I'm called to serve is one thing, but where to serve is another. I thank God also for the way that God has called me out of my previous church to serve the Lord in Calvary Pandan. I'm not from a BP from the very beginning, but the Lord brought me to the BP fold before He called me into the full-time ministry. And Elder Cole was the one that the Lord used to invite my wife and I to become member of Calvary Pandan. We've been attending Sunset only in the evening, but morning we attended our own previous church. But then our previous church became charismatic and that door was closed, and the Lord used Elder Ko Kim Hyang to invite us as the new open door for us to serve in Calvary Pandan while I was still studying in FEBC. We just got married during the second year of my time in FEBC, a 4-year program. So these are the 3 incidents, my family life, my salvation life, and my service life, and where I serve. So these are the 3 incidents in my life that will compel me to keep loving the Lord and serve Him all the days of my life as a privilege, knowing that if He had not done any of these things in my life would be meaningless, my life would be full of vanity and emptiness without purpose. So what would I want to give if I were to own the whole world and lose my own soul, right? What will it profit a man if you were to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Number 3, are you deeply committed to obey God's word in all the days of your life, no matter what the circumstances might be? I have to. As a pastor, how can I study God's word without a heart of total, absolute obedience? And how can I preach something to all of you and urge you to obey and I do not obey? So therefore, I don't want to be a hypocrite to my family and to all of you, and also, of course, before God. So I have to deeply be committed as a child of God to obey His holy word, because He is a very good, loving Heavenly Father to me. Thank you. Sorry, I passed the time.